Thanks for listening. This is a Molly's Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. Come and visit us, and we hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we recognize you in the midst. Lord, I thank you so many times. Lord, you're there and we fail to recognize you. We fail, Lord, to see that you are right here, but your promise is true. Every place, Lord, where you've recorded your name, you will meet with us and you will bless us. Wherever two or three are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst of us. We acknowledge you right now in the midst of us. Lord, we bring every thought into the obedience of your lordship in our life. Every fear right now, we take authority over it in the name of Jesus Christ, because God commanded us to fear not. Every fear, I take authority over and I cast it down, and I declare the word of the Lord that says God has not given to me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Father, we love you, we praise you, we thank you for all that you are and all that you have done. And Lord, as we open your word, speak to us. Lord, awaken our hearts, awaken our hearts. Lord, we were dead, but now we're alive. We were lost, but now we are found. We thank you that, Lord, you will continue that work that you have begun within each one of us this day. We're looking to you. Ears, Lord, are focused, are listening for you. Our hearts are fixed, trusting in you. We will not be afraid of any evil report. We thank you, Lord. We're looking for the report that comes from your mouth, and we're looking to see what you are doing. Lord, give us hearts and minds and eyes to see what you are doing in this time. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Can you, in your Bibles, to John chapter 4. And this is a well-known story. How many times we've listened to it. But I want, as we read this story again, I want you to, we want to see as God sees. I really pray that God will speak to each one of us and not, don't just dismiss it. Don't just, oh, yeah, I know this. I've heard this. I know the story. But let God speak to us afresh in this story again as we read it. Okay. So we'll read from verse 1 so we get it all in context. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." At this point, the disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come and see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Then the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say, 'There are still 4 months and then comes the harvest'? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they're already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. In this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not laboured. Others have laboured, and you have entered into their labours." Thank you, Father. Judge, turn, feel the Spirit of God's moving. Brendan, you're going to declare with absolute knowledge, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." You're going to declare that in places. You're going to be aware the Spirit of the Lord coming upon you, and you're going to know it's for a purpose, it's for a reason, and you're going to know that it is not you. You're going to know that is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking forth. And can I just say to you this? It says in the Bible that Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, when he came, he says, "Behold, I come, a body you have given me." And you know what he said? He said, "I delight to do the Father's will. I delight to do the will of the Father." That means going to the cross. That meant dying on the cross. And yet he said, "I delight to do your will." Many times we've been asked by God to do things, and we do it, as it were, reluctantly. We do it, as it were, begrudgingly. We do it not with a good attitude. But Jesus said, "I delight to do your will." The Lord has given you a heart to delight, even if it costs you, to delight to do the will of the Lord. And you're going to know the Spirit of the Lord coming upon you, and you're going to be able to declare that with absolute confidence. because it's there to heal the brokenhearted. It's there to set captives free. It's there to open blind eyes. It's there to open deaf ears. Behold, nothing is impossible for God. Nothing is too hard for him. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you in such a way that you will declare it and it will be heard. It will be like a river flowing out. It will be like a river flowing out, bringing life and bringing health and healing wherever it goes, and refreshing. You're going to see those that are just absolutely lost, those that are even dead in the Lord, being revived and coming back to the Lord. Father, thank you for it. Let your will be done in Jesus' name.
Just a minute. Share it to the church that... Oh, that's all right. At Christmas, God sent me up to a caravan park, and he sent Frank up, and it was to the lost. So just what you're saying, but for every one of us, I saw people in absolute bondage, and some of the stuff that I've complained about, and I saw others, and I thought, not one of us here has a reason. We've got eternal life, and God's called us out of that. But for the holidays, I finished work on the 22nd, and I started on the 23rd, and I was scrubbing toilets, and I was sick, literally sick, as I scrubbed the toilets. But my joy came through God, and it wasn't about me as I scrubbed the toilets. The Spirit of the Lord was upon me, and it was about God. And as I was being bilious, I was praising Jesus. And anyway, I came back here, and just if God sends you, he'll equip you. And the obedience to go and do what God had called us to do, and he's called every one of us. I'm nothing special. I'm just like you, a sinner. But God has given each one of us work to do, and if we will do it unto the Lord, doesn't matter what it is, doesn't matter what God's called you. He called me to scrub toilets. I don't know what he's called you all to do, but if you'll do it unto the Lord, I can tell you this, that the other night I went for tea, and the weight of blessing was so strongly upon me that man told me we couldn't have a seat, and I was dumbfounded as I sat at that table, because God had already prepared a way, and my wife saw the blessing. She couldn't deny it. And I just encourage every one of you this year, doesn't matter what God's called you to do. It's irrelevant. But do it unto the Lord. And as you're obedient, the weight of blessing will be so strongly upon each and every one of you that it will be a light unto the Gentiles that the kingdom has come. And so I just encourage you this year, church. Just give over and surrender and give to God and see what he will do.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I want us to look at this story. Here's a woman, had five husbands, a very immoral woman by the look of it, that he comes to, and the Jewish people, actually you could probably liken, put ourselves, they're the people who know God. They know God's ways. Jesus said that, salvation is of the Jews. He said to you Samaritans, you don't even know how to worship properly. You don't know who you're worshiping. We do know. Put ourselves, we do know who we're worshipping. And the way we worship is not just singing, it's not just those things, but it's everything we do. Do it as unto the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. You know, wives, honour, respect your husbands. No, they don't deserve respect. No, do it as unto the Lord. And when we're in workplaces, do it as unto the Lord. Oh, but my boss is such a mongrel. Do it as unto the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. We serve an awesome God. We serve an incredible God. Do it as unto the Lord. So here's Jesus. He comes to this woman and he asks her for a drink. You know, there are so many thirsty people. They're so thirsty. All you have to do is look to your left, look to your right, and you see incredibly thirsty and incredibly hungry people who are filling their lives up with things. I was doing a clean out yesterday in the heat, and so much junk. I was thinking about all the stuff I've got, trying to clean my shed out and a container I've got and put it in order. It's not all mine, admittedly, but a large proportion is. And I'm thinking, and the scripture came to mind where Jesus said, "A man's take heed and beware of covetousness. And a man's life does not consist in the abundance of things that he possesses." And we've been sold a lie that the abundance, if you can have this, you'll be happy. If you can have that, you'll be happy. If you can have this or all of these things combined, you're going to be really happy. Well, it just brings a pain. You've got to store this stuff. And it doesn't bring the joy that everybody says it promises. Here's a woman, and she comes to this well, and she's dumbfounded, first of all, a Jew and a man is speaking to her and asking for a drink. You know, I think God's, I don't know, would you think God ever gets thirsty or hungry? Well, Jesus was, he's God. I know that in the natural. So he understands our thirst and our hunger. He became a man, identified with us in all that we go through, all our temptations, all our trials. He knows what thirst and hunger is. And I think, okay, what about God and his glory? When God asks us, "Give me a drink," it could be, have you ever been blessed by somebody who's done something for you and done it in such a way that it's just blessed you? You know, and it's a refreshing. It's like a drink of water. And I think we can do things for God to give him a drink, give him something that refreshes him. Well, every parent knows that. When your children do something for you, isn't it an incredibly refreshing, a blessing? See, there's hunger and a thirst, not just for our physical body, but for our souls and our spirits as well that need to be touched. And so when he asks for this drink of water, the woman's first of all surprised, but he makes this statement, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." That's what everybody's looking for. They're hungry, they're thirsty for God. There's an incredible thirst in everyone. That's why I think right at the end there, we read out that, I wasn't going to read that passage, and it just suddenly hit me. This is all to do with the harvest. The fields are white to harvest. You know, first, think about water, how incredibly important it is naturally. You know, if you don't have water, well, you die. You're not going to last very long without water as well. And particularly in not just for our physical staying alive, but I was thinking about how much watering I've been doing lately, trying to keep my vegetables alive. You know, first of all, I get that seed and I plant it and I carefully water it. So water's needed for that seed to germinate and to sprout. And then it starts growing up. It's exciting to see those plants growing up. And then you see them producing leaves. Then you see the flowers and there's an excitement. Oh, fruit's coming. Fruit's coming. And how important it is for that water to be there to the plant at that time so that the fruit can start to develop and grow. You know, if it just shrivels up and dies without any water, there's going to be no fruit. How incredibly important it is for that fruit to receive the water. And so you can relate that to the harvest. And you know, often we miss our opportunities. Everyone is thirsty. Paul, who was called Saul of Tarsus, was incredibly thirsty. If you looked at him in the natural, you would have thought the opposite. He's so full of himself, so seemingly self-satisfied in his own religion. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was incredibly zealous, but he was a thirsty man. And we miss our opportunities because we're like the Jews. We know God. We know how to worship him. We know all that we're supposed to be doing. He's wanting a drink and he's wanting us to recognize those opportunities. What this woman's completely the opposite end of the scale. You know, as an immoral woman that Jesus sees, and he sees the harvest. He sees a thirsty soul. Often we can look and judge that, oh, they're not ready for the gospel. They're not ready to hear it. They just get aggressive. Well, whatever they do or whatever they get, I tell you, every man, every woman is thirsty. Every man, every woman, and they want a drink. They need a drink. Think about God, how good he is. He makes his sun shine on the just and the unjust. He makes his rain fall on the just and the unjust. Isn't he good? And without those things, we die. Nothing will grow. And the same spiritually, we need that living water that Jesus is talking about, that spiritual water. And we know he's talking about the Holy Spirit. You get to John chapter 7, and he stands up in the middle of this tremendous religious feast that the Jewish people were having. He stands up in the middle of this feast, and he cries out, and he said, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink, and out of his belly, it used that term, your innermost being will flow rivers of living." I believe God wants rivers to start flowing out of this place, out of you and out of me. As we've been singing all these songs about praising God, and sometimes we can use praise like some sort of gimmick to get God to do things. It's not that way. We praise God for who he is. We praise him because he's almighty. We worship him with all of our heart. You know, he calls us his bride. We had those prophetic words, his voice. When you hear his voice, does your heart leap? I think, oh no, what does he want now? Husbands and wives, can you get that way? I hear the voice of my beloved. And look, I wonder what she wants now. What job has she got lined up? And how easy it is to develop that. What does he want now? What does she want now? And what a grief it is, isn't it? There you go. It's all getting aired. But I've just been convicted. I delight to do his will. It's the voice of my beloved. Behold, he's coming. He's leaping on the mountains. He's skipping on the hills. Is your heart skipping? Is my heart skipping? That's the voice of my beloved. He's asking me to do something. And I'm going to do it with all of my heart, with all of my strength, with all that I am, and with absolute joy. I delight to do your will, oh God. Whatever it is, I delight. And we're all different. Don't get into envy. Don't get into jealousy. Don't get into comparing. I wish I had a ministry like Peter. I wish I had a ministry like Debbie or anybody. God has a ministry unique for you. And when you obey that, you're going to know a joy unspeakable and full of glory. You're going to know those rivers. You're going to know that water that Jesus says he will give us that will be like rivers flowing out of our innermost being. And people are going to ask you, where do you get that joy from? You haven't got fame, fortune. You haven't achieved this great thing that the whole world says you need to get a hold of before you'll be happy. I tell you, some of these people that achieve great things, if you ask them after it's all died down, is that your greatest joy? And they might say yes, because that's what everybody's expecting. But I tell you what, so hollow. Jesus said you can gain the whole world and it means nothing. But I tell you what, if we give him a drink and just obey him with all of our hearts, he will show us that living water, which is the Holy Spirit, which he spoke. Any man thirsty, let him come to me and drink. You know, the Bible says, in Jeremiah chapter 2. Maybe you should read it. Jeremiah chapter 2. Where are we? God's got a bit of a problem with his people. They've been dragging their feet serving him. It's been a drudgery to them. They don't really want to do it anymore. So Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse, start from 11, he says this: "Has a nation changed its gods, which are not gods? But my people have changed their glory for what does not profit. Be astonished, O heavens, at this. Be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, says the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewn themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." There have been some great messages preached on that, but he is the fountain. He is the source of all life. He's the source of living waters. And he says, my people have forsaken me. They're chasing after all these other things, making themselves cisterns, and they don't even hold water. And they've forsaken me. He that believes in me, Jesus said, as the scripture said, out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. Now just go back to John. You know, Christmas Day, I shared a message about the gift of God and, you know, how we wrap presents up. And I said, really, the reality is Jesus was revealed with no glory covering him. There was nothing desirable that we should desire him. He was overlooked. He was not seen, just a little baby. And we've glamorized it now. I said the unwrapping that takes place is our own lives. He starts stripping off all the wrapping that we have around our own lives because it's got to be Jesus in us. But he says to this woman, because she asks, are you greater than our father Jacob who gave us this well? And he answers, and whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. It will become in him. You know, it's a spring. It's not a dug out well. It's not a cistern that's dug out to try and hold and contain the water. It's a spring. He says the water, it will become in him. Do you know what that is? That Christ is Christ in us. He's the hope of glory. He's the one that people want to see. And he's in us. But often there's this stripping away of the outward that's got to take place before Jesus can be revealed. And, you know, Dave, around communion there, that, you know, we're called to follow Jesus. Take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow him. And he's, you know what Jesus said? If you try to save your life, the whole way of this world is save your life, make your life, achieve your place. But he says, if he goes the opposite, said, if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake, what? We'll find it. It will become in him, in you, in me, a fountain of water springing up. Don't you love that sound? And it gets a picture. Well, what blocks that in their life? There's a river of life. That was the old song. There's a river of life flowing out from me. Oh, what's the next part? Who knows? Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. There's a river of life flowing out from me. Yes, we're losing our life, but we're actually finding it. You know, often we get God do something in our lives and we try to establish ourselves in that. We try to get a handle on it and contain it. And as soon as we try to do that, we lose it. The only way, if you want to gain it, you've got to lose. Isn't God's ways the opposite to the world? Totally the opposite. If you want to gain, you've got to lose. If you want life, you've got to give it away. You've got to give your life if you want life. And overabundant, supernatural life will begin to flow. You've heard the word this morning. There's a chance. The voice of my beloved. Behold, he's coming. Leaping on the mountains. There's strength there. He's skipping on the hills. There's joy there. What a delight to serve him. And there's so much we could look at, but I want to close here. What I want to finish with, I want to pray. You've had that well springing up in you, but there are things that have come in your life that are like the enemy, if you want to look up in this, read up Genesis 26, where Abraham had dug all these wells, and some of them were spring. They found springs. And his son Isaac inherits this, but he inherited all these wells in this land that were stopped by the enemy. They filled them with rocks. They put dead carcasses in them to try to ruin the well and to block them. And they had to be redug. They had to be, all the blockages and the rubbish had to be taken out. And I want you to think in your own life, what stopped the well flowing in you? What stopped it flowing in you? Because Jesus promised it will be a well springing up. He doesn't lie. There is never the problem on God's side. Never. Let God be true. Every man is a liar. If you tell me your experience is contrary to the word of God, I'm not going to mock you. But I will not believe you, because God is true. He is no man's debtor. He is not mocked. Whatever we sow, we will reap. That is the truth, and it's truth that sets us free. Never say that your experience, if it's contrary to the word of God, is the truth. It might be happening, but his word is true. I tell you what, there's that spring. He wants it to flow again in your life. And I don't know what, if you get into comparing yourself with others, you can get dragged down as well. You can get into, it's not fair. Why has God allowed that? Think about poor old Job. He got into comparison. He knew all this, the methods and formulas of serving God and to try to get blessing out of God. He knew how to push all the right buttons to please God. But it's much more than that. He is the lover of our soul. He is our God. He's worthy. He is faithful and true. I tell you, you're going to get back to that river flowing full and free so that others can come and drink of that spring that's flowing out of you and me. If that's you and you want that unblocked, you're going to make those decisions to get rid of the rubbish that might have come in on your life or even the pollution that it might have come in and tainted those waters so that they've become bitter. You know, see, it's unforgiveness and things like resentments that can pollute that water and it doesn't taste good anymore. It's bitter. It's an amazing thing. You know, Melbourne water is beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful water. And, we use a water purifier. Because our pipes, the galvanised pipes are old and they must have a bit of dirt and rust in it. Then you turn it on, it comes out brown. So you've got to let it flow for a bit. But that can happen. But let Jesus purify it. So if you've had a bad experience and maybe it's polluted that well, that spring in you, maybe it's even blocked it, I want you to lay that down. I want you to make a fresh surrender. We've heard that already again to the Lord. Say, here I'm at. You said, all I have to do is recognize who you are. You're the source. I want your water to flow through me. I want that spring to flow through me. And you said, all I have to do is ask. That's all we have to do. Doesn't matter whether you're Paul you know, religious zealot, Pharisee. He's just as thirsty as that woman of Samaria who committed all those, you know, immoral acts, whatever. She was just as thirsty as Paul, and God made no difference whatsoever. So let's, as a people, start seeing the harvest and seeing thirsty souls and hungry souls. Can we stand up?